Okay, since this is Shabbat Pesach and the first day of Pesach. Yes, I'm technologically challenged. Our Torah portion is not in the normal progression of the Torah portions. Remember, we go through the entire five books of Moses, the entire Chumash, in a year. But since this is a festival, a Moed of Hashem, we read the portion that is part of the festival, that commemorates the festival, talks about the festival. So the sages instructed us. So, yes, so let it be written. So let it be done. Yeah. So, yeah, I know, the wrong guy. So our Torah portion today, not being in Leviticus, where we would expect it to be, is in Shmot, the book of names, which in English is Exodus. We're in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 21, and what it talks about is the Pesach, which in Hebrew is the Passover. Okay, but it specifically means, the Pesach, the Passover, specifically means the Passover offering, which we bring. Now, the Passover offering we can't bring because there's no temple. There's no temple. So we can't bring the Passover offering. Okay? But let's talk for a minute about the Passover offering itself as was brought from the time of Sinai up until the destruction of the temple with a 70-year hiatus. Up until the destruction of the temple in the year 70 CE. There were actually a couple of hiatuses. One, they missed one during the Maccabean revolt because the temple was messed up by Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay, and then later, during Hadrian's time, they actually did during the Bar Kokhba revolt, they did bring the Karban Pesach, the Pesach offering, for 2 years, in the year 136 and 137. We know this because we got coins. They said, yay, we could offer the Karban Pesach. Even though the temple wasn't rebuilt, they brought the Karban Pesach. So this is a big deal. Okay, what's the Karban Pesach? So the Karban Pesach was, for every household, one lamb was brought. Now remember, and we've talked about this before, briefly, in Yeshua's time, population of Jerusalem inside the walls is about 700,000 people, which people were basically living on top of one another. It's a big deal to be living in Jerusalem, so you lived in Jerusalem about 700,000 people. But this is one of the pilgrimage festivals. In Deuteronomy 16, it says, wherever you are, you're supposed to go to Jerusalem three times a year. Pesach, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and you're supposed to go to Jerusalem. Now, did everybody pay attention to this? Of course not. When have the children of Israel ever been completely obedient? It doesn't happen. Okay, but a lot of people did come. A lot of people did come. The Frummies all came. The Breslov, the Chabad, they all came. And so they were there in Jerusalem. So the population swelled from 700,000 to estimates are, of both archaeologists and in the Mishnah, estimates are about 3 to 3.5 million people. It's a lot of people. So it's five times the population that Jerusalem normally had. So how did everybody find a place to sleep? And everybody found a place to sleep. This is one of the miracles of the temple that's recorded in Pirkei Avot. Everybody found a place to sleep. So where did you sleep? Well, if you lived in Jerusalem, it was sort of your duty here to invite families in. So it wasn't just your family living in your three-room flat. You took on 4, 5, 6, 7 families, however it was necessary, and they all found room to sleep at your place. So for all of those people, one lamb. One lamb was brought. Okay, and the instructions are that for that lamb, well, what you would do is 4 days before Pesach, on the 10th of Nisan, on the 10th of the month, you would go down to where the Kohanim work. And you would say, ah, it's my turn. Here's some temple shekels, give me a lamb. And they inspect it, make sure that it's tahor, that it is completely clean, no blemishes. And they give you the lamb. And you take the lamb home. And the lamb lives in your house. And all of these people are moving in. Right? So you got a little lammy as a pet. For 4 days, you have a little lamb as a pet. And then what's going to happen to the lamb? You're going to kill it and eat it. Now, that was an agrarian society. Right? They were more used to things like this. But still, a little one like this, explaining that you're going to take a lamb of God and it's going to be killed for the sake of the people. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be sorrowful and joyous. We're supposed to be bipolar. Okay? It is a sad thing that's incredibly joyous. I mean, the symbolism between this and the sacrifice of our Messiah is unmistakable. Right? He died for our sake. Yay! Right? Are we supposed to be sad or happy about this? And the answer is, of course, yes. Right? So here's the lamb. So it's living. Now, on the day of Passover, you and every household in Jerusalem goes down to the temple and with your little lamb in tow. And you bring your little lamb in to the temple. And a Kohen at the gate. And it was thought of to be the gate of Nicodemus, which is within the temple complex itself, that separated the court of the women from where the altar actually was. And it got big circular stairs, beautiful gold lined gate. And so you go in, and standing at that gate, believe it or not, with 1 foot in and 1 foot out, was a Kohen. Kohen would say, okay, name. Bernstein. Bernstein, okay. Who's covered by this lamb? Well, I've got my wife Roni, and my daughter Lila, and my other daughter Dara, and Clifford is with us, and Nancy is with us, and Cindy and PJ Prechtel, and they're all written down. And the first person on that list had to be Jewish. Everybody else could be a Gentile. Everybody else could be a Gentile. Okay? But the first person, as long as the first person on the list is Jewish. Okay? So then they have it recorded, and the Kohen, the priest there, rolls it up, hands it back, off to the storage house it goes. Then the lamb is taken in to the post at the foot of the ramp. The shechita is done. The animal's skinned and the guts out, all of that stuff, it's cut into meat portions. The fat of the kidneys is taken up separately and walk up the ramp, and there's a big fire on the altar, which is at the top of the ramp, and the fat of the kidneys is set on there, and it goes up in smoke and makes a reach nichoach, a pleasing aroma. And then the rest of the lamb is roasted on this grate on the fire. And while it's roasting, and then it's done being roasted, and you put it, the Kohen's up on the altar, put it in a basket, and bring it down and hand it to you, and you bring it home. And you're gonna eat it. You're gonna eat it. So that evening, you have a Passover Seder. You and all of the families that are living with you, lots of people, if you got six families of five people each, right? That's 30 plus you. It's a 35, 40, 50 people, however many people were there. That's it. And the requirement is everyone has to eat a piece of this lamb before the end of the meal, or at least at the end of the meal. It's required that everybody eat it, unless you're Gentile. If you're Gentile, you can't eat it. Okay, this is something specifically for the children of Israel. Okay? Come to the meal, celebrate, but the eating of the lamb itself was for Israel only. And so he ate it. okay, to make certain that it wasn't mixed in with the other parts of the meal. It was served at the end on a piece of matzah. So you took a piece of matzah, put a piece of the lamb on it, and passed it out. Make sure everybody has this, and then you eat it. Okay? And there's lots more lamb and goat during the meal because there's another offering besides the Passover offering that occurred that day, the festival offering, which I'll talk about another time. Now, fast forward. No, I will do that later. I will do that later. So this is what the Torah portion is all about. This is what the Torah portion is all about. The Passover offering itself. And we read about it today rather than the normal portion because Chag Sameach, it's Pesach. Tonight there will be. Okay. So now we're going to start and actually look at Luke 22 a bit and at the Last Supper, the meal. Okay? Language is important. And the language that's used is frequently misunderstood. When you're in temple times and you're talking about temple things, you use very specific language. The Pesach, the Passover, does not mean the week-long festival, except for sometimes it does. Usually, when somebody talks about the Pesach, what they're talking about is the offering, the lamb that's brought. That's what they're talking about, okay? When you use the term Pesach. This is important to understand. Okay? Was this meal, the Last Supper of Yeshua, was it a Passover Seder? The answer is it can't be. Because they don't have the Pesach. Everything that we were just reading about in the Bible in Exodus chapter 12 had not happened yet. That was going to happen the next morning. So the main ingredient in Yeshua's time, the main ingredient in temple time of the Seder meal was the Pesach, the lamb. They didn't have that because it hadn't been sacrificed yet. Okay? So this was not that. In fact, this was a gathering of the students for a pre-Seder, basically a teaching Seder. Okay, so it wasn't really a Seder at all. Now, a friend of mine, Rav Yechezkel Italki, one of my co-teachers in the yeshiva, has postulated that this may have been a meal, a preparatory meal for the fast of the firstborn, which occurred the next morning. And so this was a gathering of people in preparation for the Tanit B'charot, the fast of the firstborn. And look at what has already happened. This is the day before Pesach. This is the day before the lamb is to be offered and all of that fun stuff, right? Day begins at sunset. And so what have we all done in our homes this week? The day before. Not the day of. The day before. It's cleaned out. The chametz are gone. Okay? There are no chametz. There's no leavening. It's gone. It's cleaned out of our houses. Is this Pesach yet? No, the Pesach hasn't happened, but our houses are clean. There's no bread, so what do you eat? Matzah. It's not yet the festival, but there's nothing else to eat in the house except matzah. So guess what? In the vernacular, we call this the first day of matzah. Even though the festival hadn't started yet, because there's nothing else to eat because the houses are cleaned out. Right? We all went through the ritual in our homes of the Bidikat Chametz, the Biur Chametz, it's called either one, where you go around with a candle or, Rav Shapira said, a flashlight, that's fine, and you look for Chametz in your home. And you got little kids, they look around and you hide little bits of Chametz, little bits of, few crumbs of bread, and you take a feather and you, into a piece of paper, and then you gather all of these things together. See, I think this is where Easter egg hunts came from. So you're hunting for the chametz to your house, and then the following morning at sunrise, you burn the last of the chametz. And you make a ritual vow, a ritual blessing that says, whatever I've missed, whatever chametz is there that I have missed, it is as if it is the dust of the earth. Afar min adama. The dust of the earth. And then your house is clean. No more chametz in there. So with us, we've got next door neighbors. Right? They got tons of chametz. Unless they're Jewish. Even if they're Jewish sometimes, but that's a different topic. Tons of chametz. But in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, in Yeshua's time, the whole town was doing this. Millions of people were doing this. The chametz are gotten rid of. After that, there's no chametz to be found. They're gone. Literally up in smoke, the last part of it. Okay? So this is the first day of matzah. It's before the Pesach. And so, they have this gathering, whether it's for the Tanit B'chorot preparation, or just a teaching seder to have everybody together. And so what does Yeshua say? He says, I've desired to eat this Passover with you. I've desired to eat this Pesach with you. Now, there's a problem. Is he eating the Pesach with them?
No.
No, it hasn't been killed yet. It hasn't been slaughtered and roasted yet. That's tomorrow night. And so that's a problem with the translation. And if you look in the Greek, please double check me on that. Look in the Greek, definitely in the Aramaic, it's not passive. It's not, I have desired. It's that it is my desire. To eat the Pesach with you. And guess what? He doesn't get to. He's looking forward saying, I wanted to eat this, the Pesach with you, and it's not going to happen. And so they have many elements of the meal, many elements of the Seder, right? What are the three main elements of the Passover Seder, according to Chukah? What are the three main elements? Matzah, right? Maror, bitter herbs. Horseradish. Okay. And the Pesach offering. So what's missing with this meal with Yeshua? The Pesach offering. It hasn't been killed and been roasted yet. But the other two were there. But we're looking forward to the Pesach. Okay? So they have their meal. And at the beginning of the meal, Yeshua makes Kiddush. Fruit of the vine, drinks. And that's in Luke. Then toward the end of the meal, he gives out matzah to everybody. And this is the afikoman. This is the end of the meal. On the actual Seder, would he be giving out matzah? Not plain matzah. The last thing that everybody ate, in order to fulfill Torah, is the lamb of the Passover offering. And everybody had to have a bite. All of Israel had to have a bite. So what they did, custom at the time, was they took a piece of matzah and they put a hunk of lamb on it and they passed it out and they made sure that everybody had it. So when all of the Talmidim, all of the disciples, had this piece of matzah ending the meal, they were not thinking about matzah. They're thinking about the Passover offering they're going to have the next night on the matzah. It's important to understand. So when Yeshua says, this is my body, he never mentions the matzah or the bread. He hands out the matzah. But he says, this is my body. And where's people's brains going? To the missing piece of lamb, the Passover lamb itself, which should have been on the matzah. Well, it shouldn't, because we're not really in Passover yet. So there it is. So he's saying, in this one huge statement, that he is the Paschal Lamb. He is the Passover offering. He is the Pesach. And everybody eats the bread. Okay? Now, time out. Is Yeshua the bread of life? Of course he's the bread of life. Look, there's how many messages and sermons have you heard about Yeshua being the bread, the matzah, right? There's tons of sermon fodder. And I'm not saying any of that's wrong. I'm saying that there's more to look at. There's more to look at. Because what is the most important part in the entire ritual that was being gone through is what was conspicuously absent. And that's what everybody notices. Right? If you go through and you do something and you do it every year and you leave out a part, everybody sees that. It's glaring. Right? It's glaring. We do a Shabbat morning service and we don't take the Torah out. What happened to the Torah service? Right? It's just glaring. So was this Last Supper. So is this Last Supper. The meal progresses. And all 12 are sitting there, including Yehuda, including Judas Iscariot, which in Greek means Yehuda from Creote. And Hasatan has entered him ostensibly to give him courage to actually do what he said he's going to do. And Yeshua knows he's there. Yeshua says, the betrayer is at the table with me. And they're doing a Ghostbusters thing. I didn't do it. You're going to do it? I'm not going to do it. I'm great in his eyes. Big discussion. And Yeshua reprimands him for it. Says, take on the mind of a servant. And then, Yeshua says, the one who dips his matzah in the dish with me is my betrayer. Okay. What's in the dish? We're going to backtrack some 40, 50 years. Rabbi Hillel, one of the last of the Zugot, he was Nasi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin. Very learned man. Yeshua backed his teachings and backed his rulings over and over and over again. We could go and look and point to things that Yeshua said and say, yeah, he's repeating what Hillel said. Why? Not because he was Hillel's student, just because Hillel was right. So he backs his what he's saying. One of the things that Hillel instituted and has been part of our Seder's ever since, Hillel's time, and Hillel was some 40, 50 years before Yeshua when he did this, he died less than a decade before Yeshua was born. One of the things he said was, Torah tells us that you shall eat it, it being the Pesach, with matzah and bitter herbs. So, that means you got to eat matzah and bitter herbs together. So what do? We got a bowl of horseradish, bowl of bitter herbs. Everybody dips their matzah in it and scoops out some and you eat the matzah and the bitter herbs together. And this is in American modern English parlance called the Hillel sandwich. And if it's really good horseradish, you want a whole lot of matzah and not so much horseradish. Just to save yourself. But the imagery is incredible. So here's Yeshua saying, my betrayer is dipping in this dish with me. And what he's doing is he's dipping the matzah in the horseradish. Okay? Matzah. We've just said, think about the Pesach, the matzah, the Pesach on the matzah. Okay? Now we're dipping the matzah in bitter herbs, the bitterness of the trial that he is going through the next day. Not the judgment trial, but the trial of fire, the torture. and ultimately the execution. All of these things he has to go through the next day. That's the horseradish, and this is Yeshua dipping into the bitterness of what's about to befall him. And who's dipping in it with him? His betrayer. Shabbat Shalom.